Hi, I'm Guy.
And I'm Alex.
What can I get you two?
Can I get a bottle of the world-renowned Budweiser, the king of beers?
And I will take a pint of Norfolk's finest, Woodford's Wherry.
You know, it's almost time at the bar.
And this is the Last Call podcast. Yes, it is the long-awaited episode 2 of series 2. So we might have dropped the ball there just a tiny bit on the weekly idea. We're obliged to give a shout out to the Fat, Drunk and Stupid podcast, who tweeted us on Twitter to ask where we've been and reminded us to actually get our asses in gear and record an episode.
And here we are.
Yeah, raring and ready to go. And we've got a great podcast this week. There's lots to look forward to. As well as the usual nonsense, we'll be reading through some more tales from behind the bar. And later on, we'll both be discussing Zack Snyder's Justice League.
But before that, it's time for the booze headlines.
This week's headlines from the world of alcohol. Watermelon is poised to become the flavour of the summer, and Vodka Titan Absolute is tapping into this trend with a watermelon-flavoured vodka due to roll out across several major supermarkets throughout April.
In the world of beer, podcast favourites Camden Brewery have recently released Dipper as part of their ongoing Arch 55 series. The double IPA reportedly has a tropical citrus punch. It's available now through their online shop at camdentownbrewery.com.
David Beckham is once again making headlines in the world of whiskey. The former England footballer is bringing a new twist to his Hey Clubman brand as part of an ongoing collaboration with Diageo. The new product is a Mediterranean Orange whiskey-based spirit drink aimed specifically at non-whiskey drinkers. Hey Clubman Mediterranean Orange will be hitting the shelves from mid-April this year.
And speaking of whiskey, Scottish distillers Glenfiddich have unveiled their 26-year-old Grand Couronne whiskey. Aged in oak barrels and finished in cognac cask, this whiskey has a complex, spicy flavour with a hint of brown sugar. You can pick one up from selected retailers for around £450.
You're listening to the Last Call podcast, and those were the booze headlines. Ridiculous.
And there you have it. Our new segment.
Yeah, sorry to spring that on you with zero warning whatsoever. However many episodes of this podcast, never done any news before, and here we are. I am interested to try watermelon vodka. That doesn't actually sound terrible.
Quite fresh. Not for me.
Not a watermelon fan in general?
Not in alcohol. I don't think it mixes well. I like sweeties. Like, I like watermelon sweeties.
Sweeties? Do you call them sweeties?
Well, I don't always call them sweeties. This is what they are.
I would call them sweets. But yeah, sweeties, fine. Yeah, watermelon sweets, I know the ones you mean. Fizzy.
A little bit of sour. Watermelon is that... Go on.
I feel like your thing is more important.
My thing is not important.
I was going to say, presumably, you can get them non-fizzy as well. But
I think
you might have been about to take us away from this watermelon sweet black hole that we've got stuck in already.
I wasn't, unfortunately.
All right, go on.
No, I was going to say, watermelon sours, the weird sour things, the bottles, fuck this. Fuck everything. Just fucking move us on. I don't want to talk about this anymore.
Are you talking about sours? You know, like the shots, like apple sours.
Horrendous bottles look like a 2001 disco color scheme. Fuck.
I know the ones you mean. Sours, and they do all the flavors: tropical, apple, cherry, blue raspberry. Didn't know they did watermelon though. But it looks like they were ahead of the trend, ultimately.
It looks like we're stuck and we need something to get us out of this.
Yes. Well, moving on. you can look out for watermelon sours on your next trip to the pub, which at the time of recording might not be that far away for a lot of people.
When is it Pub Gardens?
So Pub Gardens are April the 12th. And then hopefully If the roadmap stays in place, which it looks like it was, then you can expect to have your local pub open from May 17th.
But that's not everything. That is that. What is that?
Because every day, what is that? It's I believe it's a Monday in May.
No. Because June 21st is when everything's back to normal.
In theory, yes.
So what can we do at the pub in May? Anything?
I am not entirely sure. I haven't been given the specifics yet, but I have a feeling it will be similar to when we came out of the first lockdown. I believe table service will still be in place.
Okay.
I believe it will be the rule of six. And I believe pubs will still be socially distanced. But none of that's clear yet. All we know is, at the moment, you can look forward to your pub reopening on May 17th. And as far as I know, like I say, at the time of recording, beer gardens are set to go ahead and open April 12th. Any advice for people heading out to the pub, Guy? Did you just turn your Infinity Gauntlet on?
Just turned my Infinity Gauntlet on. Yes. For anybody wondering, I paid a substantial amount for a replica Infinity Gauntlet from the Avengers movies. Advice for people going back to the pub. I don't know. Everyone's going to be dick, aren't they? Because everyone's going to be really excited.
Yes.
What's the feeling between people who, like yourself, haven't worked in it? But are you excited to get back to work? Are you just bored out of your mind? Or do you kind of wish?
I am. It wouldn't hesitant happen to go back to work because I know that we're not going to be opening completely back to normal yet. And I can't emphasize this enough for people who are listening who go to the pub. It is the mother of all ball aches to run pubs like this. It is such a pain in the ass to have to do table service where you don't do table service, social distancing, have to have people seated, keep it to the rule of six. It's a nightmare. I am looking forward to getting back open because it's a step towards getting back to normal. But I think you're right as well. I think people are going to be horrendous.
Yeah.
I think people are going to be arseholes. And if anyone is listening and planning on being a dick when they go back out to the pub, I'd like to use this opportunity to ask you not to and to perhaps reconsider.
I will. Because I'm probably going to be one of them. I'm going to be so excited to finally have some Guinness from the tap.
Well, I'm going to be... I will be going out to a beer garden at some point because the weather's nice. I live in the city centre and I miss the pub. But I think I'm going to give it a fairly wide berth date-wise before I venture out. I don't think the first week that the pub gardens are open is a smart time to go out. I think they're going to be quite crazy.
It's going to be insane. Yeah, you're not going to be able to find...
I've booked somewhere.
Oh, nice.
Me and my girlfriend have our anniversary coming up. And last year we were stuck in lockdown eating takeaway pizza. So this year we're going out to a rather nice wine bar outdoor area for some wine and tapas.
What kind of tapas?
Charcuterie. It depends what they're doing. They do meats and cheeses mainly. They've got nice kind of boards and stuff, but there's all sorts. Great calamari. You've been. It's Vino Vino. We go all the time.
Vino Vino?
Yeah. Don't do this. Literally went there on our birthday last year.
Oh, yeah. We went there a bunch of times.
Yeah. Great little place. I think I've recommended it before on the podcast talked about their coconut salted caramel espresso martini as well.
Oh, no, you haven't told us about that.
It's the bollocks.
Coconut salted caramel espresso martini.
Yep, that's the one.
What's the coconut? The milk?
Not a clue. I should probably double check that. I ordered it once. This would have been nearly 2 years ago. I ordered it. And loved it, and have been drinking it since. And I'm not a huge espresso martini guy as much these days.
They're more of a show drink, espresso martinis. Delicious, don't get me wrong.
They are delicious.
Delicious.
When they're well made, they're excellent. But I think just a standard espresso martini is kind of, I want to say boring, because it's not, but it's just, it's a classic cocktail. But I like espresso martini with some kind of twist going on.
It's
something
else. It's a middle-aged person who's going on their first date since their divorce at all bar one drink.
Yeah, I actually think you've nailed that there. You have nailed that there.
I think I have as well.
Yeah.
Do you remember the first time you had one? I remember the first time you had one. I don't remember the first time I had one, but I remember the first time you had one.
Espresso martini. Yeah. I don't remember the first time I had one. No, where was it?
Portugal. And it was the same holiday you had a Brandy Alexander.
That's right. I had my first ever cocktail, which was a Manhattan. I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And a Brandy Alexander and an espresso martini.
At the little sandwich place.
Yeah, the little place by the sea. Hmm. We were underage.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Not old enough to be drinking. And what a weird mixture as well. I still love all three of those cocktails to this day. But what a weird mixture to have. Start with a Manhattan and then move straight onto cream and then back it up with coffee.
Yuck. Disgusting.
Well, my name's Alexander. It said Alexander on the menu.
Made sense.
The rest is history.
But yeah, I can't remember the first time I had one. In Australia, they drink them like they're going out of fashion. They love them. They go crazy for them.
Not a lot going on down under, is there?
No, no. I mean, they're allowed to fucking do stuff.
Yeah, credit term for that. So I guess they...
they're allowed to go out and have espresso martinis where we're not.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's crazy.
I don't think espresso martinis will ever go out of fashion. And I don't think I'll ever stop drinking versions of them. But I feel like now an espresso martini's got to do a little bit extra on the side to impress me.
But see, this is the problem, because it was when it was a great drink, and then it came like this drink that everybody has, and so you think, it's a very basic drink, and now you're saying it needs to do something else.
Mm.
It's got this already great drink. Has got to make itself better, even though it was already great, and I blame the mainstream.
Yeah, I was just about to say, I blame... I blame lazy bartending and people chasing profits mean that you might, when you order an espresso martini, you now run a much higher chance of getting an espresso martini pre-bottled or out of a carton.
Will you name and shame any pubs who do that on this podcast?
I will not, because I have worked for some. Okay. I will say that, and if that's certainly true of the espresso martini, there are a lot of not bad pre-mixed versions out there, but it's not quite the same as having fresh coffee in it. But one thing I will say is, if you order a porn star martini anywhere where it's not unreasonably priced, I guarantee you are going to be getting a porn star martini out of a Funkin' brand carton or a pre-mixed bottle or a Just Add Vodka mix.
So what do they... But you can see in some bars... You can see them actually make them.
Yeah, if you go to a good bar and you can see it being made, then you're in business. But what you want to watch out for is not a lot of ingredients. If they're pouring something orange from a bottle and then a bit of vodka and shaking it, that is probably a premix. And I should clarify and say that some places that are really good and really busy do make their premixes up themselves.
Okay.
So you are still getting a proper cocktail. But yeah, the porn star martinis are unbelievably popular. Fairly simple to make, but they also involve a lot of ingredients, which takes quite a lot of time, which all costs money for businesses. So it's cheaper to buy in a sort of passion fruit porn star martini mix that you can just add vodka to, shake, and send out nice and quick. That is a naff cocktail. I'm just putting it out there. That is a shit cocktail.
I don't think I've had one.
I'm not saying it doesn't taste nice. It's passion fruit and vanilla, so who doesn't like that? But it, come on, guys, really.
What's sex on the beach? And don't say intercourse by the sea.
Sex on the beach is vodka, Archer's, orange juice and cranberry juice.
Mm. I'm going to fact check that. It has genuinely been so long since I've made a sex on the beach.
Do you miss it? Do you miss making cocktails?
I do and I don't. Oh, I was bang on. I fucking knew it.
Nice. Nice.
I do miss making cocktails, but the beauty of it now is now I work in a bar that is a pub and does beer and wine and stuff. I can make cocktails for myself on my own time.
Oh, cool.
Whereas I do enjoy working in cocktail bars. I'm sure I will end up working in cocktail bars again at some point. But after a couple of years of making 40 porn star martinis an hour, you just get a bit sick of it.
Yeah.
And then the blokes come in and they want 12 mojitos because God forbid they drink anything that doesn't look manly.
Yeah. Did, yeah. Okay. Can totally relate with that.
Are you big on not drinking girly drinks?
No, I don't really do it, which is a shame because I love, what was that bar? That's in Bath, that's under the ramp. It's kind of weird, and it's a little bit...
Opium.
Bit voodoo, yeah, opium.
A bit voodoo, that's a glowing review, I'm sure they'll be pleased with that.
They made a strawberry cocktail in there, and it was delicious.
Oh God, I remember this, didn't it have rum in it?
Yeah, and it was bright red, and it was so sweet, and I loved it. I loved it.
I can't remember what that was. I think it was their own recipe.
Yeah. So I love girly drinks, but I just kind of don't really order them.
This is the thing, is I'm always the first person to say I love a cosmopolitan. I don't care that it's bright pink. I think it's delicious. However, I would never really order one. I don't think a cocktail would be my first go-to if I was out drinking anyway.
No.
But if I did go for a cocktail, I don't think I'd immediately go for a fruity drink.
I hate pina coladas. They're the worst thing ever.
I like a well-made pina colada.
Doesn't need to exist. Milk is for hot drinks and breakfast time.
Hot drinks, breakfast time, cereal.
Yep. If you're making a cake, nothing that involves an alcoholic beverage. You don't need milk.
What about White Russian?
Again.
Nope. Not
don't
then.
Need it. Does that name come because it's Russian? Because that would explain a lot. Because they put all kinds of weird fucking shit in their food and drink.
I don't think it originates from Russia. I think it's called a White Russian because it's white because of the cream and it has Russian vodka in it. Or it has vodka in it, and that's vodka's a Russian thing, presumably. I might be wrong on that, though.
Fair enough.
Well, speaking of weird drink mixes, there's actually a tale from behind the bar to look forward to.
Ooh.
With a slightly obscure drinks mixture in it. So buckle up for that.
I look forward to that.
Later in the podcast.
Do you ever watch First Dates, as we're talking about cocktails? And there's a small link here. Do you ever watch First Dates on Channel 4?
Don't. I'm vaguely aware of the concept. Isn't it Fred? Of Gordon, Gino, and Fred.
Good old Fred.
And they film people in a bar/restaurant meeting each other for the first time.
Yeah, you sign up, you're single, you give them a list of your type and what you're into and all that, and then they match you with someone who's done the same thing. And at the start of that, the one person always comes in, sits down while they wait, and they order a drink at the bar, and the guy is called... What's his fucking name? What's the name of, name famous wizards?
Merlin.
Merlin! That's his name. Just Google it quickly.
Is it?
I think that's his name. Just Google it. There you go. Yeah, Merlin.
Yeah, Merlin Griffiths.
Merlin Griffiths. Great guy. Awesome guy. At least just messaged me saying, Merlin. Thank you. and he makes drinks, and I think you would be perfect at that, because you're a bartender, obviously, and you've done cocktails and stuff, but he gets to speak to the people while they're waiting, and he's sort of like, he gets to ask them questions like, oh, what's your longest relationship been, or, you know, how old are you, or...
So he's nosy.
Yeah. I mean, I think the producers ask him to do that. I don't think he's just a dick. But he's like, and I think you'd be perfect for that. So keep an eye out.
I will keep an eye out if this job opening going.
Hmm. I watched one the other day. Weirdest thing. I think it was a girl who was at uni. And there's a guy. The guy walked in first. And he was very young. Very nerdy. Wore a... like a bright brown leather jacket.
Bold. And bold.
And cowboy boots.
Oh, okay. All right. Too bold. Too bold.
Well, I thought he was slaying. I thought awesome. And then... So he came, he sat down, and then the girl walked in, and then he was older. He was third year, she was first year. I think she was 20, he was 22. 21, 23. I can't remember, really. It's minor details. But she came in. She came in coat, backpack. Came in. Fred was very polite. He was like, let me dig your coat.
He's French then, is he?
Yeah, that was Fred Cyrillax, if anyone was wondering. Took the coat, kept the bag. So now she's in a really nice, like, really pretty dress.
But still and a backpack.
With a backpack on.
All right.
So sit down. First question they start talking about is
why do you have a backpack on? Should be the first question. I'm sorry, I don't want to be a dick, but with the terror alert where it is, you got to check these things. Sorry, would you mind just taking the backpack off?
Can we just check your backpack? No,
I wouldn't have asked anything, but you're so fucking attached to it. I now need to check that what's in it and why you need it close to you.
It was well, actually, yeah, yeah. I'm remembering this all now. You'll see why.
Actually, it was a bomb.
And that's the end of first dates. They talked about what they did at university, and he did something ridiculous, like biochemistry or something ridiculous.
So he's got brains, and he's got and confidence. Brains. You know, cowboy boots, leather jacket. Biochemistry degree.
Yeah, something ridiculous. Something where you are clearly so smart, right, to do it. And he's a real nerdy guy. He's very awkward. He's very shy. She's a little bit.
Well, that goes without saying. If he was an absolute stunner, then he'd have the trifecta: brains, beauty, and confidence.
Mm.
And then he wouldn't need first dates. So I'm assuming he was an ugly motherfucker.
Well,
hence,
he wasn't. You know,
so it's like, look at my cowboy boots, don't look at my face type thing. We've all been there.
He wasn't.
It's why I wear a flashy watch.
He wasn't the prettiest pony in the Shire.
All right. Fair enough.
Let's just say that. But he was a really nice guy. So she.
Why are you wingmanning him to me?
I don't know. So he does biochemistry or whatever. She did political journalism.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Now, I'm not one guy.
You're about to upset the political journalism students of the world, aren't you?
In a way, yes. Because.
In a manner of speaking, yes, I am.
Because, don't get me wrong, political journalism, I probably couldn't do it, you know? Just hearing politics on the news makes my head explode.
Agreed.
So I get that is not an easy degree. But if you compare that to like whatever he was doing, biochemistry, what do you think probably takes more brains? The writing one or the science one?
Like, I know exactly what you're trying to say. I understand exactly what you're saying, and I probably, if I was pressed on it, gun to my head, would agree with you, but I'm going to stay quiet and let you
dig
this hole on your own.
Brilliant. Okay, well, I'm just saying, writing, science. So there you go. But so anyway, they sit down and they haven't even ordered the starters yet. And she pulls out of her bag.
Finally, what's in the bag?
Question cards that she made with her friends.
And oh, my God.
And when I saw this, I thought it was...
Fuck.
Well,
hell.
Yeah. I thought it was a great idea. So she put them in the middle. And you just pick one up and you ask a question. This guy, though, this is where it falls down for me. He doesn't know what's on the cards. She does.
So he's walking into a trap, effectively.
Yeah, he's basically got to ask her questions.
That she wants him to ask him.
That she's written. So, anyway.
Does she have to pick the cards up as well?
She picks the card up as
well. All right, you take it in turns.
One for one. And then...
Right. Now, why don't you just drop whatever fucking weird alternative indie Zooey Deschanel bullshit that is?
She did them.
And just ask him questions.
Yeah, just have a conversation is what it's called.
The guy is doing biochemistry or something similar. I'm sure he has questions for you. He has a scientist's mind. He will have come with things to ask you.
Well, when you hear the end of the story, you'll be wishing he asked why she was such a crazo. So he so anyway, they were asking questions with each other, you know, standard stuff. Well, where are you born? What do your parents do? What's your middle name? Blah, blah, blah. And then they do, like, little interview things. So they come in, sit down, tell to camera. Like,
talk to camera.
Right? Yeah, and they stitched that in. And she said she was in a relationship with a guy who always made her feel less intelligent. And she got quite upset because she would write essays or assignments for uni. This ex-boyfriend would look at them, tell her that they weren't very good and she's an idiot.
No.
And then she would get like firsts on them.
Yeah. So obviously she was intelligent in her field.
Yeah. She was clearly brilliant. But for some reason, she really messed up her own brain by thinking, well, this is it, right? So she would fuck her own head by going, well, my boyfriend, who's my boyfriend, says they're not very good pieces of work. My lecturer, who is a trained academic and has clearly, you know, taught me correctly.
Knows
my shit. Says it's a first. Who do I believe? I believe the boyfriend. So she fucks her own head.
Yeah. Thinks she's an idiot.
Thinks she's an idiot, even though she's writing really good work. Anyway.
That's a sad story.
That is a sad story. But she never... little scientist boy who she's on a date with doesn't know this.
Oh, God. Oh, no, he's oblivious to the trauma.
Picks up a question card. Who do you think is smarter, me or you?
Oh, my fucking God. He's confident. He's wearing cowboy boots. He's not going to be afraid to say him.
He says himself.
Oh, no!
And it is just...
Oh, Woody. No.
And that is it. And this poor guy, right? He didn't know.
It's like, you gave me the question.
You gave me the cards. I don't know you've got this whole thing going on where you don't know if you're smart or stupid. I just thought if, you know, push came to shove, if the world was in jeopardy, who would they ask for help? Me or the political journalist student? Probably me. So
obvious answer to that would be something along the lines of, I really don't know you well enough to even say. I like to think I'm quite intelligent, but you seem very intelligent too. Maybe you could ask me after we've been on a few more dates.
Nice.
Bam.
But I think with this chick, it still would have made her cry. So she started... She set him up. It was a complete setup. She starts crying at the table. Fred has to come over. And he's like, what's wrong? And he's like, I really don't know.
Guy's like, I have no fucking idea, man. She asked me to ask her questions. I asked the questions she wanted. I answered honestly. And now she's in fucking tears.
Yeah. And that was it. And that was... it was horrendous. It was one of the most horrendous things I've ever seen. But I wish them well, and I hope if they're together or if they're separate, I hope they're happy with everything. I hope she's overcome this weird thing where she can't seem to get out of her own head. If you're listening, I'm sure you're not. You're very smart.
I'm 100% positive you're not listening.
You're very smart. If Cowboy Boots is listening, then you're awesome. Please give us a message. We'd love to have you on.
Oh my god, yeah. I mean, doing guests is something we always talk about anyway, but if we can get the Cowboy Boots guy from first dates,
yeah.
That would be, I'm sure, and I'm sure we would really enjoy it. Nobody else would give a shit.
True. I mean, I feel, and also I've got to apologise for anyone who's watched that episode and has had to just listen to me retell it.
Knowing all the twists and turns of the story. Ah.
So, yeah.
Oh, dear.
But no, that was that was a horrendous first dates episode.
Well, the TV recommendation of the week. First dates. Remember we did that back in series one? One of the early segments, TV recommendations of the week.
That's what I was going to say. Is it... when did we start this? When's our one-year anniversary?
That's a great question. Hang on, let me find out when the first episode was published.
Did we start I don't think we started in March.
So I've just had a look, and our first episode was April 20th last year. Wow. So we were less than a month away from the one-year anniversary of the Last Call podcast.
Pretty special.
Oh, we'll probably have to do something, won't we?
And not leave it.
Not just randomly on April 21st. Like we miss everything. And speaking of missing things, it's been a while, but we do have some tales from behind the bar. I wondered if you wanted to attempt a little segue for us.
I found this bar story behind this automobile. I guess it's a tale from behind the car.
I'm pretty sure. Not only is that not a segue, but I'm positive that you've done that one before. But anyway. It's not what a segue is, but fine. Now, I promised you, they're all short this week. We've got four nice short tales from behind the bar. But I promised you that there was one that had a weird drink combo in it.
Ooh.
So this one comes in from, all one word, got a boner and smiling. Good for you, sir. A customer requested a lager shandy with Pepsi instead of lemonade. I've heard it's called a diesel.
Lager with Pepsi.
Lager shandy, Pepsi instead of lemonade. So half fucking Amstel, half Cola.
Surely you don't taste the lager.
Maybe that's the point. I imagine that would be foul.
That's really stumped me. I don't really see the point. A lager Pepsi. Does it have to be Pepsi?
Well, I don't know. I guess it's one of those things where Coke is okay.
Lager Pepsi. Called a diesel.
Diesel, apparently. I've never heard of it. I've had people order red wine and Coke before.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't want to... I don't want to say it tasted awful. because it didn't. It tasted all right, but it definitely tasted wrong.
Can you
taste? I tried some after they ordered it. It was, I believe it was a couple from the Czech Republic, they said, and it's fairly common in Eastern Europe for people to order red wine with Coke.
I think there's times where people just need to stop.
Yeah, I think at a certain point, you clearly don't want to drink alcohol. When you're doing this, you clearly don't want a shandy.
It sounds like someone's misunderstood mixer.
Yeah, and like I just
on both those drinks, lager Coke and red wine and Coke. I bet it's called a ruby. I bet it's called like a ruby Coke or something. Or it's something ridiculous.
Did you just come up with that off the cuff?
Yeah,
because that would be an awesome name for a red wine and Coke. I have no idea, but if you're right, then great guess. And if you're not, then it should be, because that's amazing.
Okay, well, patent it and copyright it and trademark it.
See how we do. All right, moving on. This one comes in from Anonymous. It says, a car plowed into the bar I was working in, coming all the way in, flipping a pool table over. It pinned three off-duty waitresses against the bar.
That's not funny.
Nobody was hurt. But the woman who was driving tried to order a drink.
Just, oh my god.
Can I get a small Sauvignon Blanc? Sorry, I was gasping.
Ooh, pool. I'm next. I got next.
I'll play winner. Bum, 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 bum.
Oh my days. And she still ordered. That's brilliant.
I mean, if you once you've crashed into a pub, your only option really is to style it out. Provided everyone's okay. If she just killed three people.
Yeah.
And then ordered a drink, that's not as funny.
Little different.
They did specify no one was hurt, so thank God.
Just seeing it from the bartender's point of view, where he's just cleaning a glass, and then a woman just suddenly in a car is in his field of vision, and she just orders a drink.
All right. So our third tale from behind the bar comes in from D's Nuts.
Classic.
Hilarious. Whoever you are, sir or madam or otherwise, that is hysterical. It says, at bar close during cleanup, a guy was pounding on the back door, begging to come in, said, call me an ambulance. We opened the door and let him in. Turns out he'd just been jumped by two guys. And the best part, one of his eyes was hanging out of its socket.
No, 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 no.
Not a fan of that?
No.
Do you know, suppose that you can pop your eye out and the stalk will leave it connected?
The stalk?
I think it's called an eye stalk, isn't it? It definitely is on a Dalek.
It's definitely not. Oh, yeah. It's definitely not called an eye stalk.
Well, why not? What is it? It's a little. What would you call it?
Bit of tendon?
Yeah, but it's got to have a name. All tendons have proper names.
Eye tendon? I'll Google
eye
it.
Eye tendon. All right, yeah, please do.
What is the name of the thing your eye is attached to? If it says eye socket, I'll be livid. The irises muscles attached to... No, that's not what we need. That's from kidshealth.org.
We are not looking for that information for kids. Oh, God. That's... We are asking questions about when an eye gets torn out of a man's socket.
This is so embarrassing. You know why it's done that? Because I've typed in a question that is so...
so unbelievably
childlike.
Dumb. The Google's been like, bless him. Kids on the computer.
Eye tendon.
Eye string?
It's an optic nerve.
Yeah, optic nerve. Yep, optic nerve. All right, we were both wrong.
Did you just Google what is your optic nerve called?
Yeah, just in case it had other
your
names.
Your optic nerve.
I wanted to make sure that there weren't like nicknames or something for it. Like, for example, the eye stalk.
The eye yo-yo. What? So what? So what happened with this guy? They called an ambulance.
They called an ambulance. They took him away and presumably gave him the old 1-2 and popped his eye back in.
It was like ball in a cup. Someone, a doctor was just doing that with his head.
Shaking his head around. Ah, oh, I missed it.
Oh, ow.
Ow.
Oh, nearly ow.
It's rigged.
What? I mean, what? How did he get jumped to a point where his eye fell out?
I don't know. You don't hear much about people getting jumped in that old school way. You hear about all sorts of horrible things happening on the streets at night, but the idea of someone just getting jumped, you know, like not just mugged, but also...
Just jumped, yeah.
Just jumped.
They must have done something. It can't have just been... The only damage can't have been his eye. He must have had, like, a broken jaw or a broken eye.
Yeah, presumably, because there's no way they just got, like, a fucking teaspoon in it. Popped his eye.
It's not like they were like,
set him on his way.
Get his eye! And then...
hey, people got to get their kicks somehow.
Disgusting.
Well, speaking of disgusting, our final tale from behind the bar is another combination type one. Real super short, this one. Comes in from Anonymous. It just says, I once... swatched a guy soak an arancini ball in his beer, then eat it.
I don't wish death on a lot of people. I think that's too harsh.
But this guy's mummered his last Mia.
What? What are you doing?
Right.
Do you know what an arancini ball is, sir? Do you need help with that?
If any listeners are wondering what an arancini ball is, it is a ball of rice, fine Italian cheeses, normally breaded and then deep fried. It is excellent.
Delicious.
No, it is not to be soaked in a beer. And more than anything, it might I think it would ruin the beer more than it would ruin the arancini
ball. Yeah, you got like...
your breadcrumbs, bits of rice in your beer. In your beer.
I want to slap him so hard that he forgets who he is. And then we can reprogram his brain.
Take him out to a nice restaurant, order some arancini.
Mm. And then when he goes to dunk in his beer, we grab his hand and go, No.
Not like that. Not like that.
We don't do that. We do this. Oh, my God.
Well, if you are the mysterious arancini dunker, then know that you have enraged Guy beyond all belief.
And if you are the arancini dunker and you are over 6 foot and very large, then do whatever you want.
Dunk away, my friend.
Dunk away.
Can I get you a refill?
Can I get you another plate of arancini?
So that's all I've got for Tales from Behind the Bar this week. If anyone listening has a great tale from behind the bar or anywhere in the service industry, you can submit them to us by emailing lastcallinbox@gmail.com, or you can submit them anonymously, as most people seem to like to do, on our website, thelastcallpodcast.co.uk.
You can also, if you want, you can send them to us on our Instagram, which I know the name of, which I will tell you once I remember. LastCall_pod_. I'll say it again. LastCall_pod_. 2 underscores. 1 before the pod, 1 after the pod.
Nicely done. And just to fucking complicate things, you can also follow us on Twitter @LastCall_pod. Without the second underscore.
Just 1 underscore. For some reason, on Instagram, LastCall_pod was taken. But on Twitter, LastCall_pod wasn't.
And also, if you're a podcaster who happens to be one of the people who makes the literally hundreds of Last Call podcasts that are out there at the moment, then we salute you, great name, and sorry we stole it.
Well, we didn't steal it. We didn't know you had it.
We genuinely thought we came up with it, and it was brilliant. And then I was recently was looking on Google Podcasts, because we are now available on Google Podcasts. But I was having a look on Google Podcasts, and it turns out that there are hundreds of Last Call Podcasts, and we're not as original as we thought we are.
But yes, no, if you do have a podcast called Last Call Podcast, welcome to the Last Call Podcast group. And we
and hey, get in touch. We'll have you on after the cowboy boots guy from First Dates.
Last Call Pod, the Last Call Pod. There you go.
Right, moving on to our next and final segment. Both of us this week watched the hotly anticipated and highly controversial Zack Snyder's Justice League in its entirety. And we actually haven't properly spoken to each other about this until now. We deliberately saved it. For people who aren't aware, Zack Snyder was due to make Justice League, I believe, in 2017 as a follow-up to Batman vs. Superman. Unfortunately, there was a family tragedy that meant he had to step away from the project. DC then hired Joss Whedon, who directed Avengers Age of Ultron, to take over, who then presided over a lot of reshoots, some changes to the story, and the finished product everybody hated.
It was a pile of crap.
It didn't know what it wanted to be, and it was a mess.
But it's incredible, though, if you think about it, because Age of Ultron is one of, if you take away the last two Avengers movies, is one of the best Avengers movies.
It is hugely underrated, but I think it wasn't that popular at the time. I mean, obviously it was popular, people loved it, but I think people generally criticised it quite heavily.
Okay.
And maybe Joss Whedon was a little bit bitter, and that's why he tried so hard to make that Marvel tone work in his version of Justice League. Anyway, fans campaigned for a long time to get the full original cut of what Zack Snyder wanted to do out.
This though is a really incredible story, and I've been watching a lot of things on it after watching the Snyder Cut. And these guys, I think it all stemmed from Zack Snyder tweeted some film rolls in their metal containers.
Yeah, some canisters of film.
And it said the Snyder Cut on it. And then I think more actors who were in it started. Or it could be the other way around. I think people started campaigning to release the Snyder Cut, and then actors that were in it started to hashtag release the Snyder Cut. But these guys are incredible. So, I mean, these DC fans are incredible. They campaigned. They raised about $140,000. I think it could be more, so I'm sorry if it is more. But what I heard was $140,000 for suicide prevention, because that is one of the reasons that Snyder had to step away from the project.
Of course.
They had billboards in Times Square in New York. They had Superman flying around, but he'd fly through each of the billboards in Times Square, and then it would say, release the Snyder Cut. It's incredible how they managed to get this fucking thing released. Like, so good.
It's always a nice story when fan culture manages to get something like this done. So hardcore fans, now have that director's cut that exists, which is that's always a nice thing.
And it was worth it.
Well, let's dive into that. Firstly, it's out now on HBO Max, Now TV, Sky Cinema.
Mm-hmm.
It is a little under 4 hours long, and it's divvied up into, I believe, 7 parts. So if you did want to chunk it up, you could. Why don't we start with your thoughts on it, and then I will give you mine. And for anyone listening, this section will probably contain spoilers for Zack Snyder's Justice League, so just watch out for that.
Okay, so to start off, obviously way better than the 2017 version. I think it only worked as a film released on a streaming service. I think with its length, 4 hours, a lot of people see 4 hours and freak out. But because it's released on a streaming service, you can pause, you can get up. If you're in a cinema or a theatre, you can't really do anything, can you? I know people are going to be like, 4 hours, you kidding me for a fucking movie, but the character arcs and the story arcs that are in it are so, I think they're so important to be told across a lot. They needed that time. They needed that 4 hours to really give, where you compare it to Joss Whedon's and you got no story arc for any character. We're supposed to sort of know where, you know, where Cyborg's come from, or, you know, the Flash and his motives and motivations and stuff like that. So, yeah, I get it. 4 hours is a really long time, but I think I watched it in one sitting. I didn't even pause it. I watched it because it moves at such a nice pace. I thought the storytelling was brilliant. It's divided into 6 chapters and 1 epilogue. And I just thought it was excellent. I thought it was a fucking masterpiece. I thought it started off crap. I was scared when it started. The Amazons bit, I thought, oh my God, more weak script writing. Just a few sort of continuity things for me. I thought the Amazon Queen, she was willing to let everybody die in that chamber for the mother box. But then that one chick who got crushed by the horse, she did everything she could to try and save her. I thought,
good point. Good point.
Surely if, you know, you're willing to let, you know, 20 of your other Amazon women die for this mother box, who gives it, that's not even your daughter as well. That's not even Wonder Woman. So I thought, I was really worried. It started off and I was like, oh no. But then it just got better and better and better, and just, it blew me out of the water.
Out of 10?
I'm going to give it an 8.5 for,
ooh,
because I would take a point off for the start, and I will give a point off because the continuity on the start kind of did my head in, and I'm going to give half a point off because every time Wonder Woman appeared, they played
fucking music
theme song.
Yeah, it got silly. The theme song originally,
awesome, isn't it?
And it still is a great piece of music. But every time she's doing something, that was a tad silly. I'll give you that. But overall, you're saying
8.5.
So, my experience of the film, I watched it in 2 parts.
Okay.
I watched parts 1, 2, 3, and then I took a short break for about 20, 25 minutes to get a cup of coffee, have some breakfast, and then immediately picked it up back again. I actually planned on watching it in 2 parts throughout the day, but I watched parts 1 to 3, stopped, and once I'd had breakfast and coffee, I kind of felt the need to immediately jump back in again, because it does draw you in. I think you're absolutely right that it needs the 4 hours to tell the stories properly. I think that's one of the problems with the old Justice League, is they were so desperate to get these characters in that they were dragging them in without any sort of origin movie or anything like that to set them up like Avengers had. They just were straight away like, everyone knows the deal with Flash, pretty much. He's fast. But Cyborg is a lesser known DC character for people who aren't religious comic book readers or big DC fans. And Aquaman, everybody knows Aquaman is a bit of a joke, so they gave him this big revamp that we weren't used to, and that felt rushed with Joss Whedon's, whereas in this full cut, you do get a bit more time to get to know them. And I think that's why it moves so nicely as well, as you have so many stories playing out at the same time that you don't get bored, and it does fly by. I quite enjoyed the beginning, I can't lie. More than anything, because it was so much better. I don't know if you remember how Justice League started in 2017, but it began with that horrendously cringy kids filming Superman. Henry Cavill's CGI bottom half of his face.
It's terrible. Talking about his fucking ass.
Yes, exactly. And it was just kind of, Whereas this, I felt, just kind of was like, right, this is Justice League. Let's fucking go, you know? Let's start. I think the big thing, the biggest thing, is that it felt... It knew what it wanted to be, and it felt tonally consistent all the way through.
Yeah.
Whereas Justice League... 2017, obviously that wasn't going to feel right because it was so many reshoots. They'd changed what they were trying to do halfway through. I really recommend you go back and watch the old Justice League as well, just so you can see how bad it was, how many random dialogue scenes were added, especially between Bruce and Diana. I think they really tried to make it this whole kind of like Bruce and Diana dynamic, as if to be like, how am I going to get this team together? Oh, I'll help you get this team together. And that was meant to be the core story. Whereas in this, you kind of, it just told a story.
Yeah.
If you don't like Zack Snyder as a director, you won't like this, because it is full of all his go-to moves, heavy use of slow-mo, extremely vibrant visual imagery, quite fast camera movements. I love all that. I loved it in Watchmen. Loved it in 300.
Big Zack Snyder fan.
Thoroughly enjoyed it in this as well. And I'll tell you what I didn't like. And this was the only additional photography for this cut. There were some reshoots, I believe, but the only thing that was added that didn't already exist was the epilogue sequence with Jared Leto's Joker.
Yeah.
It's sort of an extension of these nightmares that Bruce Wayne keeps having about the future. And I think they're meant to be premonitions. Yeah. I think it was meant to be a little glimpse into what the future of the DC universe might have been if things had gone differently. And I thought it was a bit much. I thought it was a bit too up its own arse. I didn't enjoy Batman vs. Superman, and judging by the box office, nobody else did either.
It wasn't great.
The one thing I will give it is at least the nightmare sequence in that was kind of short, sweet, made its point, and got out.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like I'm not against having another nightmare sequence. I'm not against having that nightmare sequence, like vision of the future, everything's gone to shit, Superman's bad, you know, Deathstroke and Batman have buried the hatchet, whatever. I'm not against any of that. I'm not even against having Jared Leto's shit fucking Joker turn up again. just for the sake of, you know, having some universe consistency. But did you have to give him such a bloated cameo? He's so fucking bad. Like, did nobody, when they were filming it, and he was there chewing his fucking lines like that, was nobody like, why are we doing this?
What got me about that scene was, I was excited to see Bruce's, Ben Affleck's Batman with Joker. And I think, I saw a thing with Snyder, and he said he felt like the fans were owed that.
Yes, I think I read the same article, yeah. That's why they decided to add that scene.
Yeah, which I love.
Yeah, but great, lovely to do.
If I just want to ask Jared Leto why, if he... And I don't want to take away from Jared Leto, because I think he's an incredible actor. I think he's been in, you know, lots of Dallas Buyers Club. He was in Requiem for a Dream.
I have to say, with the exception of those two movies you just mentioned, I actually think he's not that good.
Well,
I think he was very good in Dallas Buyers Club. He still deeply upsets me for the right reasons in Requiem for a Dream.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I think he is a tad... you know, and I felt that when he was cast as Joker, and I knew it for sure when
I don't want to take anything away from him, because I think he is a good actor. I think, you know, if he was a lead, don't get me wrong, if he was a lead role in a film, would I jump to go watch it?
Are you spending 16 quid to go and watch it?
Probably not. But, so, I would just want to ask him, okay, so you did Joker in Suicide Club, and Suicide Club. The Suicide Club. No, Suicide Squad. You did Joker in Suicide Squad. Okay, everybody gets your angle. You're going for like this Joker that was a gangster and, you know, a little bit like that.
It's not just him, you've got to remember as well. There are a team of people who write the script and do the concept art.
Definitely.
And, you know, it's not just up to him how that Joker came out.
But that, okay, and that didn't land. That Joker didn't land.
No.
So then you're given this sort of second chance, as you will, and you, okay, so the costume chair, you no longer got the slick back hair and stuff like that, and you look quite cool. I thought you looked quite cool.
Not
I thought
bad. Looked like I Joker like the what? Yeah, I like the police vest.
Yeah, with all the sheriff badges on. I think that's from a series. I think that's from White Knight or something. I can't really remember. But, and it's like, okay, cool. Sweet. I love the look. I'm so happy to see Ben Affleck's Batman. Because, controversial, I think Ben Affleck's Batman is an awesome Batman.
I think he's doing the absolute best he can.
I think he's awesome.
I think there are some fundamental flaws in his Batman that were established in Batman vs. Superman, not really present in Justice League, which is an amazing thing, but I think they really did him dirty with Batman vs. Superman, and they gave him this Batman that he's done wonderful things with. I think if you're going to do an old, grizzled, more kind of Dark Knight Returns era, Frank Miller-y,
That's what I see in his Batman.
You know, I actually think it's a good choice. Ben Affleck is not a bad actor. Is he? Is he mind blowing? There's a question there. But I think he's, I think he's done a good job. I actually think they've all done a good job
with what they've got. But then so Jared Leto, he's got a chance, and he just doesn't check. Like you're still going with that Joker laugh, really. No one, you know, there's. No one liked it. So why
carry on with it? He's shit. In Suicide Squad, there was a question, because you're like, well, his performance is unquestionably bad. But also, the makeup, the design people, they've made him look bad. The costume people have picked weird shit. You know, the writers have written bad dialogue. So you're kind of there like, right, well, this is a group failure. And then in this new scene in Zack Snyder's Justice League, he looks... great. I think the makeup people have done an amazing job. He looks brilliant. I really like the look. I think the costume is really like classic kind of Joker costume when he's not in the purple suit. That seems like a really cool thing for him to be wearing, and you're kind of like, I want to know the story there. And the what's been written for him, the dialogue he's at, the script, I think it's actually quite interesting. There's some little jokes in there. There's some creepy shit. You know, there's a really good little Joker dialogue scene for him and Batman to have. So, why does it still suck? Because Jared Leto fucking sucks. If you're listening, Jared, you know, tweet us, I guess. But you know, it's true. He's just so bad. It sounds like he's trying to do an impression of Heath Ledger without sounding like he's doing an impression of Heath Ledger.
Yeah, but it was a shame that he just sort of didn't take the opportunity to sort of change it up, explore the character a little bit more. I mean, people are probably going to listen to this and go, he's a fucking Hollywood actor. You think he hasn't explored the character? But I'm sure he has, but I feel like it just doesn't gel. And you've sort of got this, especially in this scene, you've got Ben Affleck's Batman, who is in a dystopian world that he has caused. The guy's an angry guy. You want a Joker that matches that, and it just didn't.
I think the problem for me is I'm upset that this will never be part of the DC canon, which is nobody's fault. Warner Brothers not great, but who knows? I really, really wish that this could have been the Justice League we got. The other problem I have with it is it's a luxury that we get the extended cut in this one. If Zack Snyder had finished the project as planned, then that runtime would have to come down anyway.
Yeah, that would have been.
So things would have to get cut. And we would end with, I think ultimately we would have ended up with something that was not as good as the full version, but better than Joss Whedon's and sat in the middle. I definitely 100% recommend that people watch it. DC fans, I think, should really enjoy it. If you loved it as much as we did, then get in touch and let us know. And if you didn't like it, then tell us why. That's the other thing. I've seen so many people arguing on Twitter just to let you know, it is perfectly okay for one person to like something you didn't like, or for someone to dislike something you liked. It's just how it is.
Yeah. So let us know, because it would be great to see from a point of view from someone who wasn't a fan of it and can be like, I didn't enjoy it for this reason. I didn't enjoy it because then you build a more fuller picture of something. I think when you take someone else's opinion,
I think so. So let us know. I think we are DC guys. I think we're DC. Absolutely. DC is our wheelhouse. Huge fans of the MCU. I mean, really enjoy the MCU, but I've never really read the Marvel comics. Whereas I read and have read quite a lot of DC comics. I know you're the same. So for DC guys like us, this was great, but maybe you're a DC fan out there who hated it.
Yeah. So please let us know.
Yeah, get in touch. You can email lastcallinbox@gmail.com. You can message our Instagram @lastcall_pod_, or our Twitter, lastcall_pod, or go to the website, thelastcallpodcast.co.uk. Well, unfortunately, that is time at the bar.
It's time for us to finish our drinks and head home.
In the meantime, there's plenty always going on our website and on our Twitter and Instagram, so check them out if you need a Last Call fix before the next episode.
Don't forget to take glasses back to the bar, and we will see you very, very soon. Thank you.